Good job. A controlled zeal and a godly zeal. Underneath, filled with God, what is the Ephesians 5 New Testament phraseology that we talked about for that concept? Filled with the... Yeah, good job. The Spirit. Okay, we're going to start with point number 4 here. You have to have a trust in God. Joshua, in order to be greatly used of God, had to have a trust in God. Joshua chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, we just want to ask for your help. It's been a long day, Lord, and we thank you for it. We pray one more time, again, just as our brother prayed a few minutes ago, that you would help us to listen carefully. Father, you're such a loving God, and you're such a benevolent God, a kind God. You look for ways to add blessings to our lives. You long to speak to us. You long to bless us and draw us closer to yourself this very weekend. Father, you're far more committed to using us for your honor and glory than we are. Lord, we rejoice in all of these things. We can't help, if we just get to know you a little bit, we can't help but love you. And we pray, Father, that you would grant us one more time today just to sit at your feet and to listen to what you would have to say to us. We give you thanks, Father. We praise you. We love you. We pray for your blessing and your help during this meeting. All in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, point number 4, he had a trust in God. First of all, he trusted in God's purpose. Verse number 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Do you think that it would be hard for Joshua, it's hard for me to stay tied to this, do you think it would be hard for Joshua to trust in God as he was standing outside of Jericho before they started around the walls that final seventh time? You think that would be hard? You can answer if you want. I think that would be hard. If your life was on the line, you're standing there, I don't know exactly what they had, right? If they had a sword, if they had a spear, if they had a shield, you know, whatever it was, but your life is on the line. You're standing there. You're not a man of war. You've been in slavery for hundreds of years, this people had been. And you're standing there, and your military strategy is cry out, right? Boy, I think it'd be a little bit hard to trust in the Lord at that point. How important was it that he had the promise of God? Would you be clinging to the promise of God if you were Joshua? I have a friend named Dan Williams. My son is named after him, Daniel William DeGroff. Dan's dad is Steve Williams. He was in the Vietnam War for 1 year. He was drafted into the military and sent over to Vietnam. His dad was in World War II. His dad, when he got drafted, he said 3 things. He said, you have to promise me 3 things. Number 1, don't get into the 101st Airborne. Number 2, don't carry the heavy machine gun. Number 3, don't walk point. Within a month of being in Vietnam, Steve Williams did all 3 of those. He got transferred right into the 101st Airborne. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you. It was the most active unit in Vietnam. They averaged one firefight a day when you're shooting at the enemy and they're shooting back at you. One time a day, people trying to take your life with their guns. Would you be scared? Those guys were scared. Have you ever heard of foxhole religion? People that want nothing to do with God most of their lives, when they're being shot at and the bullets are whistling by your head, they'll all pray to God in a foxhole when you're in that situation. They were scared. If you could take one person into battle with you in the jungles of Vietnam, who would you take? I'd take the Lord Jesus. Well, Steve Williams did take the Lord Jesus. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has so many stories of how the Lord preserved his life throughout that time. Joshua, now I know it's hard for us to imagine. I have not been shipped off to war. My generation in America was not shipped off to war. It's hard to put yourself in that perspective. Here they are. They're going to go in and they're going to take the land by physical force. And the Lord says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And then he goes on to say, be strong and of good courage. In fact, he says it like three times. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. It'd be hard to be strong and courageous if you're Joshua. Boy, you'd be scared. I think any one of us would be scared. And so he had to depend on the purpose of God. This is the purpose of God, to give you this land. Well, what's God's purpose in today's day and age? You know, the first thing, of course, we could talk about different things, but the first thing that comes to mind for me, I will build my church. We have promises from God, don't we? Can I tell you a little secret of the kingdom? And when I say kingdom, I mean Topeka, Kansas. This is just between you and me and the tape, right? You can't get any farther than that. When I was going to move back to Topeka, Kansas, I was a young married couple, been married for less than a year. We were headed back to Topeka, Kansas. Where are you guys going to fellowship? Topeka Gospel Chapel. Several people told me things like, those people don't want to serve the Lord. You shouldn't go there. That place is going to die. People told me all kinds of things like that. Well, I was moving back to Topeka, Kansas. That's where my family was. My convictions that I had gotten from the Word of God led me to know that's where I'm going to fellowship. And so basically I said to them, well, the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. I don't know the people that I'm going to go fellowship with, but I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and so I'll just put my trust in Him. That was 12 years ago, 15 people. Today there's about 100 people, little under 100 people in fellowship at the assembly. The Lord has done a wonderful work in the past 12 years, and we praise His name. If you were there in Topeka, then you would know, there's no doubt, that it was only the Lord that built this house. And we rejoice in that the Lord did it. Now, why am I telling you all this? I just love to tell the stories of my life. No. I'm telling you this because I want you to believe in God's purpose. When He says, I will build my church, you realize that means that He wants your friends to be saved. When the Scripture says He does not desire that any perish, that means that He wants your friends to be saved. Do you want to be greatly used of God? Oh, I hope so. What can you do? I had a friend in high school, actually it's the same friend, Dan Williams. 4 years, we went to different high schools in Topeka, Kansas. 4 years in his high school, he had a Bible study in his high school. That's a wonderful service for the Lord. He found a Christian teacher. The teacher said, you can use my classroom. And they would meet there once a week, and they had a Bible study in the school for 4 years. The Lord uses things like that. They saw people saved. Now, I don't even know if you can do things like that. I don't know the culture here. I don't know the school systems here. But I long for you to see God's purpose. What's God's purpose? I will build my church. I don't want them to die, the Lord says. If you go out in dependence upon God and believe in God, He will use you. It's a vital characteristic of those who get used in great ways by God. They believe in God's purpose. He said to Joshua, I'm going to give it all to you. Joshua just simply had to believe and walk in faith. He gave him God's presence. God's purpose, I'm going to give it all to you. God's presence, verse number 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Again, that's a wonderful phrase to underline in the Word of God. I will not leave you nor forsake you. It's repeated in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. When you read leave and forsake, those sound very similar, don't they? If you look them up, they're different Greek words and they have different meanings. The word forsake actually means to walk away from. The word leave means to cease strongly supporting. So that promise from God says, I will never walk away from you. Does that mean a lot to you? Oh, I sure hope so. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ saved me 29 years ago when I was 5 years old. I was a thief, I was a liar, and I'd only made it 5 years into life. Disobedient to my parents, proud. Jesus Christ saved me at that point. And the scripture says he will never walk away from me. He will never stop strongly supporting me. I flew out to Las Vegas with the Good News on the Move team a number of years ago, and we spent a week sharing the gospel in Las Vegas. When I was there, a friend called and said, I have this friend that's going through a hard time. Would you go and see her? So several of us said, sure. And we went and we saw her. We went and found her at work, and we said, do you have time to have lunch? And so she said, sure. And so a group of us, we went out and we had lunch, and it was just a small group of us. And she had been to the same Bible college that I had been to. And I asked her, I said, so-and-so says hello. And she said, oh, that's great. And I said, so-and-so says you're going through a hard time. And she begins to cry. And I asked her what happened. And she said about a week and a half, 2 weeks before that, her husband, who went to the same Bible college, looked at her and said, I'm leaving. I'm walking away from you. That's one of the most miserable things in life. It tears people apart. The scripture says the two shall become one, right? One flesh. There's a joining. And when there's that divorce, when there's that tearing apart, it leaves people with, it's not a physical wound, but it leaves people with these gaping, horrible emotional wounds. I am so incredibly thankful, and always will be for all eternity, that Jesus Christ says, I will never walk away from you. I will never stop strongly supporting you. Tremendous promises that we have in the Word of God. We have God's purpose. I'm going to give all this land to you. You have God's presence. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Finally, you have God's promise. Verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So basically he says, be strong and of good courage. How come? You are going to win. I guarantee it. Can we claim a promise like that today? Yeah, we are going to win, right? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, congratulations, you win. Some of you are smiling. Some of you look like you don't care that you win. I think it's awesome that we win. Christ already won. Christ is winning today. And Christ will win in the future. So we have God's purpose, God's presence, and God's promise. Okay, one more little thing to notice in this passage here. Verse number 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it. Again, I really encourage you to underline that little phrase or write it in your notes. Do not turn from it. Are some of you tempted to turn from the truth of God that you've been taught? I guarantee some of you are tempted. Are some of you already turning from the truth of God that you've been taught? I guarantee that some of you are doing that. In a group like this of young people, will some of you be tempted 6 months from now, 9 months from now, a year and a half from now? Will you be tempted to turn from the truth of God that you've been taught? I guarantee that some of you will. Boy, please listen to the Word of God. I fly home on Wednesday. I don't get or have to live with the consequences of your decisions. The Lord's glory is at stake with your decisions, and your blessing, your enjoyment, your usefulness, fruitfulness, all of that is at stake. Do not turn from it. There's a young person that I served the Lord with 2 years ago at a camp. We had a great week together. We saw the Lord really bless. At the end of the week, we were all rejoicing in the Lord. I heard about him about 6 months ago through a friend, and I heard he wasn't doing well spiritually. And so I asked the friend, and the friend said that he had just talked to him the day before on the phone, and he said this. He said, "You know, I just don't know if it's worth it." Might some of you be wondering about that? I wonder if it's worth it to follow after the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you something? As a 15-year-old, I wondered that a lot. I was so thankful to be headed to heaven and not to the lake of fire. But I looked up at people that I knew well that named the name of Christ, and I still remember. They were freshmen and sophomores in college. Some of them were living just like the world. Had joined fraternities, were living just like the world. All the parties, all of everything that lifestyle has to offer. And they seemed to me like they were having a good time. When I looked at their life, I couldn't see consequences. There's a part of every believer, according to Romans chapter 7, called a sinful flesh. The sinful flesh doesn't make righteous suggestions. The scripture says that in the sinful flesh only dwells wickedness. No good thing dwells in the sinful flesh. So there's a part of me that's suggesting that I live the same way that they're living. And here I am, a 15-year-old, a freshman in high school, and I'm looking up at them, and I'm wondering, I wonder if I could just go that way for a few years, and then I could just turn around and everything will be all right. I'll confess, right? Because I knew the verse. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So maybe I'll just go that way for a few years and then I'll turn around. I thought about that. Not very long, praise the Lord. But for a few weeks, maybe a few months. I don't remember, honestly. I thought about that. My football player friends were going that way. A part of me wanted to go that way. And I thought, I wonder if it's really worth it to follow after Christ. You know what I ultimately decided by the grace of God? I ultimately decided something so horribly simple. I finally said to myself, you know, I'm just going to choose to believe God. The Lord says that I shouldn't be involved in those things. I'm going to believe that He's right. And so I'm just not going to go that way. I'm 34 years old. Every year that goes by, I am more thankful for the grace of God in my life that led me to that decision. I decided I'm going to follow after Christ. By the grace of God, I'm going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with my life. Every single year that goes by, I see a greater gap between those that decided they were going to honor Christ and those that went the way of the world. I would beg you, do not turn from it. But it's really up to you. When the Lord Jesus was here, he looked at groups of people just like you, and he said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." I prayed today with J-Ball this afternoon. I prayed for you this morning by myself that you would have ears to hear the truth of God, that you would take the truth of God seriously. But, you know, just watching you throughout the day, I can tell some of you don't. I know, what a horrible thing to say. It's true, though. I can tell that some of you don't. I'm really hopeful that most of you do. Joshua needed to hear these words from God. Joshua was a mighty man of God, and yet he needed to hear these words. Do not turn from it. Those of you that love the Lord, do not turn from it. Those of you that are somewhere in the middle, do not turn from it. Those of you that have been pursuing the world, look at what the Lord says, the promises, the presence of God, the purpose of God. It's all there for you. Do not turn from it. If you choose to honor the Lord Jesus, you will never be sorry. If you choose to go the way of the world, You will be sorry. I guarantee you, based on the authority of the eternal word of God, I guarantee you, at some point, you will be very sorry. You know, the Bible teaches levels of judgment in the lake of fire. The Lord Jesus himself said it'll be worse for them in the day of judgment. The lake of fire is a horrible place. You're all by yourself. The blackness of darkness. The worm never dies. The fire is never quenched. It lasts forever and ever. Conscious, eternal punishment. It's a horrible place. And based on your sin, it can get worse if you're outside of Christ. Heaven is a perfect place. And based on your service, it can get better. Your reward grows. What a gracious God. It's going to be worth it, guys. The decisions that you make leaving this conference, if you choose to honor Christ, it's going to be worth it. If you choose the way of the world, you're going to be sorry. Whether it's a temporal sorriness or whether it's an eternal sorriness. Okay, Joshua chapter 3, if you would. Joshua chapter 3. You know, I don't think I've mentioned this weekend, but my goal anytime I teach is 100% clarity. But I know for a fact that I fall very short of my goal. And so if I say something that's confusing to you, if I say something that you disagree with, I'm not a big, hey, let's sit and argue guy, but I would love to talk to you about anything. And I'm 100% okay if you disagree with me. If you want to talk about something, if you want clarification on something, that is why I flew here away from my family, to hope to see you blessed by the word of God. And so please, if you want to talk or if you have a question, even if you just want to come say, I don't see that exactly the way you said it. I don't understand why you said it the way you said it. Any of those things, that's 100% okay with me. And I would eagerly invite you to come and ask. Okay, point number 5. He was dependent on God. Dependent on God. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. That's the key phrase. You have not passed this way before. Every time we do something new, it's a little bit scary, right? Well, we haven't been through this before. I don't know what to expect. It's a little bit scary. I told you my dad died a couple months ago. He died of cancer. It was very quick. He went into the hospital on Monday. He couldn't get out of bed on Tuesday. He went for a lung biopsy on Wednesday. On Thursday, they said cancer. On Friday, they said there's nothing we can do. And on Saturday, the Lord took him home to be with him. It was very, very quick. I looked at my dad after we told him that there's nothing the doctors can do for you. Unless the great and awesome God of the heavens decides otherwise, you are going to go and be with him. After I told him that, I looked at him and I said, what are you thinking? How do you feel? And he said numerous things. He said one thing. He said, you know, there's more that I wish that I could have done. And then he said, you would think, with as much as I know about the Lord Jesus, and with as confident as I am that I'm going to go to be with him forever, you would think that I could be comfortable with all of this. But he said, you know, the truth of it is that this is scary. Why is it scary? Because you're about as dependent on God as you're ever going to be. Right? When they tell you, there's nothing we can do for you. The cancer's going to get you. I can't hardly imagine a situation where you're more dependent on God. And it did get him in a physical sense. We have to be dependent on God as we go through and win the victories. He wins the victories through us. At the Red Sea, they held up the stick, right? Dependence on God. Jericho, All they did was circle the city and cry out. Dependence on God. Ai, they lost the battle. 36 men that, to our knowledge, had nothing to do with the sin in the nation of Israel lost their lives that day because of other people's sins. Those of you that are living a life of sin, does your sin affect other people too? Does it affect your assembly? Does it affect your youth group? Does it affect your family? Yes. You don't live in a bubble, right? Our choices affect other people too. When the Amalekites attacked the children of Israel, do you remember the story? Exodus 17, the Amalekites come out and attack the children of Israel, and as long as Moses held up the rod of God to the heavens, then the people fighting the physical battle in the valley won. When Moses got tired and lowered his hands, they started losing the battle. When you're losing a battle, why? When you're losing a battle, what is happening? People are dying. And so they were dependent again. They put Aaron on one side, Hur on the other side, and they held up his hands and they gave him a rock to sit on to support him. And as long as there was a physical dependence on God, a reliance on God, then there was victory in the battle. The scripture is riddled with things like this. We must be dependent on God. He says, "You have not passed this way before." You know the name Michael Jordan? I saw him interviewed one time. Most people say today that he's the greatest basketball player to ever live. I saw him interviewed one time and they said, "How come you have turned out to be the greatest basketball player of all time?" He said, "I was willing to miss more shots than anybody else." What did he mean by that? He meant two things, and he explained it. He said, "I was willing to practice harder, longer, shoot more shots every day than anybody else." And then he also said, "I'm willing to take the shot at the end of the game. I'm willing to miss the shot at the end of the game. I want to take the shot at the end of the game." He didn't expect failure, but he expected struggle on the way to success. I find that to be a great example. As you go from here, I hope that you do, that you are greatly used of God. I hope that you hope that you'll walk intimately with Christ. But I want you to do more than just hope. I want you not to expect failure, but to expect struggle on the way to success. So depend on God. Don't put your hope in yourself to honor Him. Put your hope in Him. Depend on Him. Mortify the flesh. If there's something in your life that's causing you to sin, mortify it. Well, that's not a word that we use every day, right? What does mortify mean? Junior theologians in the audience, what does mortify mean? No, good guess. At least not to my knowledge. Mortify. Any other thoughts? Yeah, that's right. That's right. That might be, I'd have to think through that. But that's what I was looking for. To put it to death. So mortify the flesh. What does that mean? If there's something that's causing you to sin, deal ruthlessly with it. Put it to death. There's a missionary biography about R.C. Chapman. It's called Brother Indeed. I highly recommend it to you. Tremendous story. When he got saved, he was a ridiculously wealthy man, a fabulously wealthy man. And he knew that if there was going to be one sin that would cause his downfall spiritually, it would be the sin of pride. And so he gave the money away, almost all of it, except just enough to buy a home in a poor part of town. And he just completely did away with it. He said, "I'm not going to leave any room for pride to get me down the road." He dealt ruthlessly with that sin. Now, your sin might be completely different than the sin of R.C. Chapman. But whatever it is, if there's something that's causing you to stumble, causing you to sin, show your dependence on God, mortify the flesh, deal ruthlessly with the flesh. The scripture says, make no provision for the flesh. So depend on God. Okay, point number 6, Joshua 3 in verse number 5, the next verse. Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Key phrase to underline, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What does sanctify mean? Anybody know? I know some of you know these things. What is it? Okay, that's the process of sanctification, right? The progressive becoming like Christ. When the scripture says sanctify yourselves, boy, that's really good. What does the word sanctify literally mean? What does holy mean? Separate, set apart, right? Sanctify is set yourselves apart. And boy, I hope that you guys get this one. If there's sin amongst you, please take that verse seriously. Sanctify yourselves. Notice it's something that they do. They choose to set themselves apart. Of course it's by the grace of God. Of course he's the one that has to wash us, cleanse us, and he's the one who has to renew our positional standing before him. But it's a choice that we make to turn to God from sin. And the result is tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. I told you, in one generation, there were 300 to 350 assemblies planted in North America. I long to see that again on this continent, if the Lord Jesus be not come. If we choose a life of worldliness, we basically choose to not make ourselves useful in the Lord's hand. How much of you is available for the Lord to spend? I had the privilege of serving the Lord at Mountaintop Youth Camp in North Carolina with a lady. She and her husband were there for the week, Mark and Kim Shelley. She, partway through the week, said the Lord had been dealing with her about a particular issue. To me, it seemed like a fairly simple issue, a fairly innocent issue. But the Lord had been dealing with her, and just before she came to camp, she decided, finally, she would give that to the Lord, kind of release it, and so she did that. She made a choice, she gave it to the Lord, she turned it over. That's a good example of sanctification. Set yourselves apart for the Lord's use. That week, Kim Shelley had the privilege of leading one girl to Christ. When she went home at the end of that week, she led a woman in her community to Christ. And I remember she and her husband wrote a note on Facebook, and she made that statement. She said, "I wonder if the Lord chose to use me because I yielded to him when I was under conviction." What do you think? I think so. Sanctify yourselves. You say, "Lord, I want you more than I want anything else." And you set yourself apart for him, and he will take you and use you in ways that you can't even imagine. Obedience leads to intimacy. Okay, point number 7. This is our last point for the day. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 13. "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap." Now I just want you to notice a couple simple little things. He wanted them to step into the stream before the waters stopped. Now at the Red Sea, he said, "Raise the rod," and the waters stood up. Now he wants them to actually take a step, and then he'll show, it's like a step of faith, and then he'll show, "I'll come through for you." I find this to be interesting in my own Christian life. Many, many times, the Lord wants me to take a step of obedience, and then he shows, "I'll be right there every step of the way." When I was 15 years old and I was torn about worldliness versus honoring Christ, I was under tremendous conviction from the Spirit of God that I was hiding spiritually. I was ashamed of a Savior that had never been ashamed of me. I was living like a hypocrite. I had one face in the local church and I had a different face in my local high school. I was under tremendous conviction, and I finally, by the grace of God, took a step. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to give up these friendships that are dragging me down." And I did that. I broke off those friendships. And we still played football together. We still lifted weights, all of that. But I broke that off. And I told them that that's it. I'm going to go a different way than the way you guys are going. And for 2 months, maybe 3 months, I sat at home with my parents on Friday and Saturday nights. I wanted friends. I wanted to go out. I wanted to do all those things, all the things that you guys want. I wanted all those things. And yet I sat there just committing myself to the Lord. It was a step first, and I prayed, "Lord," what I really wanted was a David and Jonathan friendship. And so I asked the Lord for that. "Lord, would you please provide for me a friend like David and Jonathan?" And the Lord gave me the guy that I named my son after, Dan Williams. who's been the best friend that I've ever had, the longest friend that I've ever had. Step first, then blessing. As a young married couple, we were called by a camp and we were asked to come and volunteer. And we said, we'd like to pray about it. So we went to the elders, we asked them, we prayed about it ourselves. I was in kind of a unique position. I was allowed 10 weeks of unpaid vacation per year. Now, I had to pay for it, but I could be gone if I chose to. Now, the problem was I wasn't hardly making any money. I didn't have the money. And so we talked about it. We prayed about it. The elders gave us their okay. We finally decided, okay, it's an open door. We want to walk through every open door that the Lord brings along. And so we went. It cost $400 to take the week off of work. We went down. We served the Lord. We had a fabulous week at camp. We got home. In my mailbox was two checks. And the total of those two checks was to the penny $400. Did the Lord want me to go to camp? Step first, then blessing. The next year, I'd gotten a raise. It cost me $500 to take the week off of camp. It was a different week of camp. It was a different camp. But we prayed about it. We went to the elders again. Everything seemed like an open door. And so we trusted ourselves to the Lord, and we went off to camp. When I got home from camp, there were three checks in my mailbox. The total of those three checks was exactly to the penny, $500. Did the Lord want me to go to camp? Now, what was the Lord teaching me? All kinds of things, right? He was teaching me things like, I'm not going to triple your money every time you go to camp. He was teaching me, I'm not going to make you rich, but I will support you to do my work. He was building me from a man with a tiny little faith, and he was growing that faith step by step by step. Step first, then blessing. Now, please notice, Joshua had the commandment of the Lord. I'm not encouraging you just to run out and be creative. Just run out and take any step for God that you can think of, right? No, read your Bible and pray. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and obey what He tells you. By the way, you might bounce it off people that are older than wise and wiser than you. That's a wise thing to do. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Step first, and then blessing. What would the Lord have you do? Confess your sin and walk intimately with Him. That would be a great step for those of you that are in the need for that. Be involved in the local church faithfully. That would be a great step, and the Lord would bless you for it. Share Christ with, and you can fill in the blank, somebody that you know that the Lord has put in your life, that He puts on your heart to share Christ with. Share Christ with. That'd be a wonderful step of obedience. Read and pray 10 minutes a day. Please start small. Most Bible study methods fail because they're too aggressive. I want to honor the Lord. I want to follow after Him. I want to know the Word of God. I'm going to study the Bible 4 hours a day. And you can't maintain it, right? Start with 10 minutes a day. If that's not your habit, start small. And pretty soon you're going to be so hungry, you're not going to be able to limit it to 10 minutes a day. But let it grow slowly inside of you. Step first, then blessing. Do you want to see the Lord do great things? When I went to Kenya the first time, maybe 6-7 years ago, I forget, we had such a burden when we left for the people there. I went and visited one local assembly where there were two Bibles. I collect Bibles. I like to collect Bibles. I have 70-some Bibles in my office at home. I think it's neat to sit there and to look at that shelf with all those Bibles and think of what the Lord has done with His Word through the centuries and around the world. The Scripture says that there will be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation in eternity. The Lord's going to save some people from everywhere, and those Bibles are evidence that God is working. But I have 70-some Bibles in my office at home. This local assembly had two. We left with such a burden for those people. We came home and we prayed about what we could do about it. We looked into a few things. Everything seemed like a closed door. And then about a year ago, we started praying again, fervently praying about it. We'd gotten an invitation to come to a National Workers and Elders Conference, and so we began to pray about the literature specifically. You're talking about two people, no money to speak of. What are we going to do to get literature to these people? Well, we prayed. We depended ourselves on God. we asked the Lord to do a work. When it was all said and done, there were, between the materials and the shipping, the customs, between all those things, it was somewhere in the range of $50,000 worth of books that were sent over in May. Now, we were doing everything last minute, and they were going to ship it by sea. And the problem is that the conference is in early May, and they weren't going to get there till the end of the May. So what did we do? Well, we prayed about it. And they made a couple phone calls, and they found an incredible deal. Less expensive than shipping by sea, and it went over by air, and it was there in plenty of time for the conference. I love it, watching the Lord do these things. I have the tremendous privilege in my life of standing on the sidelines and watching the Lord play a great game. You get to watch the hand of God. This weekend, what I'm looking forward to is watching the hand of God in your life. Now, I don't know how much of it I'm going to see, but eternity will show what a great and awesome God can do in your life in one weekend. I remember going to the conferences where most of my life changed because of something that I heard over a weekend. As a young person, my wife wrote me a text message today, and she said, "I'm praying that the Lord will really get their attention." You know who was speaking when my wife really turned her life over to the Lord Jesus? I don't mean in salvation, but when she decided, "This is all that I want for the rest of my life." Joe Reese. Do you know him? Tremendous guy, isn't he? So he came and he preached the word of God, and my wife that I love and cherish, the biggest earthly blessing that I have, the Lord got her attention through that. What's the Lord going to do in your life? Take a step of obedience and just wait to see the way the Lord blesses you. Do you believe God? Are you willing to follow after God? Who will be the stories in this room, the ways that we'll see the Lord greatly glorify His name? And who's going to choose the curse of sin? It's all here in the room. By the grace of God, the choice is up to you. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for Joshua. We give you thanks, Father, that he was a man of faith, a man of dependence, a man of holiness. Father, we give you thanks that as a young man, he was zealous for the things of God, and that he endured faithfully all the way to the end. Father, I pray again tonight for every one of the young people in this room that they will be zealous about the things of God. But help us not to have an immature zeal, Father, one that goes up and down and falters along the way. Help us just to be faithful and steady, dedicated for you. Father, I pray that you would build and stretch the faith of the young people in this room. I pray that you would mold them and shape them and raise them up to be mightily used by you. Father, I know for a fact that they're not all seeking after you with all their heart. But I also know that there are some of them that are loving you and seeking after you with all their heart. Father, I just want to pray especially for those that really love you, that really want to honor you. Father, I pray that they would know so clearly what you're saying to them and what you're speaking to them, and that you would raise them up as leaders in their youth groups, leaders of their generation, people who serve their generation well. I pray that you would change lives this weekend, Father. We thank you for a great day. We thank you for the food. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for all of it. But Lord, most of all, we are looking forward to what a great and awesome God can do in our lives. We yield ourselves. We commit ourselves to you. Father, we'd like to just tell you again that we love you. We love your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've never met anybody like him. We thank you for the greatest gift that anyone will ever give. And we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus himself. Amen.